We can make bad decisions and unwise vows, you know, in a state of heightened emotions or spiritual kind of things, thinking that we can persuade God in our favor. So we make an oath or we swear to God that we will do this. But the Bible says don't make any oaths or any vows. You see, when God works, He doesn't need our help, and He's not going to be obligated by us. The credit goes to Him. The glory goes to Him. It's never a payback to me. Oh, good, you did that. Now you owe me. God's never obligated by you or obligated by me. None of that.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 11.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because
there has been no nation, never ever, has an enemy attacked someone and they were beaten and the victor gave back that land, except Israel. Israel gave back the Sinai to Egypt in the Six-Day War, 1967, because it was demanded of them. They gave the Gaza back to the Arabs when they had conquered that, and they thought, okay, let's live in peace, and you have your government, we have ours, and let's live in peace. But they didn't want to live in peace. It's just like the Ammonites. No, we're not going to live in peace. We're going to have war with you. And so Jephthah, to him, it was really a battle between gods, the true and living God of Israel, and Chemosh. He says, let your God Chemosh give you what, you know, he's given you. Let Muhammad give what he's given you, and look at all the land around, the Arab lands. Why can't you be satisfied with that? Because there's something about driving out, exterminating the Jews. It's a demonic thing, a demonic thing. You see, just like here, they will not settle for what is you know, which is really normal and really what happened with every and all the nations. So the battle between the gods. Now, it brings us to Gaza and the so-called displaced Palestinian refugees. You hear that a lot. Let me make a little sidebar right here. Here's what concerns me. Now, I don't know. I know I said that often uprisings are put down pretty quick. You know, we have a trip to Israel toward the middle and end of November. I don't know about this. It's going to be put down quickly. You know, it just seems like, it's a fierce battle. But here's the thing that concerns me, and I'm just kind of looking at all the pieces of the puzzle. We have opened borders. We've just allowed illegal immigrants to come across. If you hated America, if you were a terrorist and you always called America Satan America, and yet now the Democrats open their borders, and now you can get into Satan America and do damage, would you come? Seems to me like they would with these open borders. Now, second, if in fact that has happened, I'm not saying it has, but common sense tells you that some of these terrorists, they will do anything. When President Biden said they have an uncompromising commitment to Israel and they will send all sorts of military equipment and funds to them, if you had terrorists in America, what do you think they would do? if they're connected with Hamas and Hezbollah in Iran. You see, for me, now again, I'm speculating, but I'm just thinking common sense. I'm thinking to all of a sudden turn America back on itself, I would think that terrorists, if they are in the land, they would all of a sudden do a lot of terrorist activities in the land to turn us back on ourselves instead of looking out to Israel. So that's my concern. That's really my concern. Because the lie, this whole Palestinian refugees that the Jews have driven out of the land, that is so false and so phony. You can get the article. I'm just going to read part of it, but the article is deconstructing the three stages of the Nakba myth. Nakba is day of catastrophe, where they say the Jews drove out all these Palestinians. They left the country, and the Jews now got their land. Not at all. That's the same thing that we're reading about here in Judges. That's what the Ammonites are saying. Here's the situation, and let me just read a little bit of this, and you can get that article on your own, read the whole thing. But the Nakba Day, or Day of Catastrophe, Palestinian myth that provokes hatred throughout the Muslim world, it's a lie. The Exodus, the Arab population during the 1948 war, the effective war of extermination launched by many Arab countries against the Jews in the young state of Israel. Now, this was the war for the survival of the state of Israel. The article goes on. The Palestinians were the allies of these countries, and the large number of them left to watch from afar in safety as the planned massacre of the Jews was to be efficiently carried out by the Arab armies. The Palestinians, expected to return and take the spoils of victory that the Palestinians anticipated and the Arab armies anticipated. So they left of their own to sit back and watch all the Arab armies destroy that new nation, exterminate them, and then the Palestinians were going to come back and take the lands. Totally flipped it, didn't they? It's just an amazing thing. Yet, the article goes on, their armies were defeated. The Arab armies were defeated. And their politics failed in opposing the partition of mandatory Palestine, the British mandate, the Balfour Declaration of 1948, giving a national homeland to the Jews alongside the Palestinian Arabs. The aggressors now became the victims, saying that the Jews dispossessed their land, when the reality is the Arab nations and the Palestinians plotted to exterminate, drive out, murder the Jews to upend the Balfour Declaration and possess the Jewish lands for themselves. So this whole thing is turned upside down, and now they make them look like the victims. So even in this war where there's on both sides are dying, when you talk to one of the Muslims, they say that we've been waiting in these occupied lands for this time to come back into our land. Well, wait a minute. That's totally reversed. It's totally reversed. The Palestinian aggressors, they turned into the victims. How do you do that? Turned into the victims. The plan of extermination of the Jews, now it became self-pity for the Arabs, for the Palestinians, compassion for them. It just totally flipped around. Right is wrong, wrong is right, black is white is black. I mean, it just, you know, totally turned around. You could get that article. Let me mention it again. It is still online. It's deconstructing the three stages of the Nakba myth. N-A-K-B-A. Nekba myth. Well, let's go on. Verse 29, and we'll go all the way to verse 40. Yeah. To end up here. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, so that he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. Then he passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he went on to the sons of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed give the sons of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it will be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah crossed over to the sons of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand, and he struck them with a very great slaughter from Aroer to the entrance of Minnith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel Kirathim. So the sons of Ammon were subdued before the sons of Israel. And when Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, behold, his daughter was coming out to meet him with tambourines and with dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came about when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot take it back. So she said to him, my father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me as you have said, since the Lord has avenged you of your enemies and the sons of Ammon. And she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go to the mountains and weep because of my virginity and my companions. Then he said, go. So he sent her away for 2 months, and she left with her companions and wept on the mountains because of her virginity. And it came about at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did to her according to the vow which he had made. And she had no relations with a man. Thus it came a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in the year. There's the controversy. Burnt offering. We always think of a burnt offering of taking the animal and totally consuming it. Well, that is a burnt offering. Going back a little bit, we need to talk about this before we talk about that. In verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. There's the key to victory for any of us, the Spirit of the Lord. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the key. So often we will rush out on our own, feeling pretty strong, feeling confident, and yet at the same time, we haven't prayed. We haven't said, God, go before me, follow behind me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want the Spirit of the Lord to be upon me. But this is a victory. And yet Jephthah, in the height of this state of spiritual enthusiasm, or maybe, you know, when he saw the enemy in a desperate situation, he vowed, I will offer to you a burnt offering with the first thing that comes out the door of my house. You know, what do you think? There are animals in the house? I don't know. They do keep animals in the house in those days. But you see, we can make poor judgment calls. We can make bad decisions and unwise vows, you know, in a state of heightened emotions or spiritual kind of things, thinking that we can persuade God in our favor. You know, so we make an oath or we swear to God that we will do this or you know, an oath or a vow. But the Bible says don't make any oaths or any vows. Don't swear by heaven or by earth or by the throne of God. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is evil. You find it in James chapter 5, verse 12. So it's really just our word and the work of the Lord. You see, when we make vows, when we do those kind of things, it's a form of works of righteousness. I'm going to vow, God, I will give this up if you do that. That's a work of righteousness. That's legalism. You see, when God works, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help, and he's not going to be obligated by us. He doesn't do that because he wants the credit. The credit goes to him. The glory goes to him. It's never a payback to me. Oh, good, you did that, God. Now you owe me. God's never obligated by you or obligated by me. None of that. But did he actually sacrifice his daughter as a burnt offering? Well, you can read your commentaries and think what you might want to think, but I say no. It was not a child sacrifice, but it was a consecration, dedication to God. You see, the burnt offerings, they were synonymous with total dedication to God. And the animals, when they were given as a burnt offering, they were totally consumed on the altar, totally, signifying a total offering of self to God. So here, it's a total consecration of life to God. No marriage, no children, none of that, but a life that is a celibate or a virgin kind of life for her, lived for God. In other words, she would be called a daughter of the assembly to serve the Lord. That's what she was. You see, in that day and age, you know, it was very important for a woman to get married at a young age and then have children and raise up that whole family tree. And I'll tell you, it was a blow to Jephthah. And that's why he's all shook up. It was a blow to him. He had no family. He didn't know a family. And now with his daughter, he's thinking, here's a family and grandkids and that kind of thing. It definitely, I don't believe it was a human sacrifice. You find it, God forbid that. Leviticus, you can look this up if you're a note taker on your own, but Leviticus 18:21, Deuteronomy 12:31, don't do that, God said. That's a pagan practice. God's people don't do that. You see, never did God ask for a human sacrifice, except I think you know which one. And that was his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins. No other sacrifice. We can't, we have an unholy life. We can't sacrifice for it, for our sins. Now, there was, you do find even those Jews in Israel, some of those kings, they sacrificed their children. Pagan kings did as well. Manasseh, in his reign, he sacrificed his child. And it was an abomination to the Lord. The Lord even said that. But even in that, the interesting thing, if you look at Manasseh's life, one of the longest reigning kings, I think it was 55 years, he did so evil. He undid everything his father Hezekiah did. You know, just horrible king. But in the end, he repented and God forgave him. It just tells us you can't go beyond the grace of God unless you choose to and never repent. If you do repent at the end of your wayward living and wayward life, he will forgive. He will forgive. He did that to Manasseh. You see, but we find that in Leviticus, verse 27, first four verses, it says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, now this goes along with her being a daughter of the tabernacle, or as we said, a daughter of the assembly to serve. It says, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when a man makes a difficult vow, he shall be valued according to your valuation of persons belonging to the Lord. If your valuation of a male from 20 years even to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekels of the sanctuary. Verse 4, notice this. If it a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. Ah, what is that? For service in the tabernacle? Yes. Exodus 38:8 gives us more clarity. Moreover, he said he made the laver. Now he's talking about the things for the tabernacle and ultimately for the temple. Made the laver of bronze with its base of bronze from mirrors of the serving women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. I believe that's what she was. She was a daughter for the tabernacle, served at the tent of meeting. That was her dedication. No marriage, no children, no prodigy to live on after her. And so you might have a different take. And, you know, I don't mind if you're wrong. You know, that's fine with me. I'm just kidding. Good commentators have said the opposite. You know, they think they sacrificed. But I just don't think you find biblical evidence for that. But Jephthah, you find him in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Great, great man of faith. We're going to see something next time. Jephthah doesn't put up with the guff. He doesn't put up with those that want to criticize and blame and that kind of thing. And so we'll see what happens next time. So read ahead, chapter 12. We'll probably go into chapter 13. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for your word. What a great man of God, Jephthah. He came from difficult beginnings. And sometimes you use those that come from those difficult backgrounds, those hard times, and we might count ourselves out, but you don't. Lord, you count us in. If our hearts are open to you, if we're willing to listen to you and be used of you, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that. And Lord, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us. Lord, give vision, give direction, give insight in what you would have each one in our church do for you and serve you. But we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. You are a living God. We thank you for that. Now give us courage to step out in faith in that calling wherewith you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of repeat offenders, Judges, chapter 11. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of repeat offenders, Judges 12 and 13. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.